And he began to see who God was and realized, well, who is God to get all the worship? I need to get some of this worship. I need to get in a little bit of it. And so as he began to allow pride to swell up in him, we see this character called the devil being created. God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. And so it is. God created you. And God created you to be one of his beautiful creations. God created you to be a masterpiece. And if you are anything else but that, it's because of you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2.
I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. And in this psalm, we see that David is extolling the virtues of God. He's praising God for his omniscience, his all-knowing, his omnipresence, that he's everywhere, and his omnipotence, that he's all-powerful. And David concludes Psalm 139 by affirming his dedication and faithfulness to God. But in the midst of this psalm, David injects this passage beginning in verse 14. He says, I will praise thee, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and in the intricate part I was wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when yet as there was none of them. And as we continue our series, and this is the final message, How Great is Our God, we want to deal with today, continuing the message from last week, how great is our God when we think about these bodies that he has created. These bodies that we have are fearfully and wonderfully. Amen. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about DNA, something that we didn't have the capabilities to study up until recently, and how that encoded in DNA is who you will be, given to you at the conception as all these cells came together and built upon one another, that God wrote into your character who you would be. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. As we look at our passage, and if you want to follow along in your notes, we have a three-point outline. We got the first point last week, so we'll pick up with the next 2 points today. The first thing we talked about last week was the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. He says in verse 13, for thou hast possessed my inward parts, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now, we looked at last week and said that there were several views of this, but the view that we're working off of is the fact that David said, God, you created who I was. You created my person. You created my character in my mother's womb, and then you continued to develop me. It takes a powerful God to do that. Man can clone life, but man can only clone from what God has already put here. God has taken something out of nothing, and he put together who you were in the womb. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I think about this. Not only do we see, and this just absolutely blows my mind, not only do we see the power of God to create a body, as if we were to just trace the development of a human being in the womb, we would see how that human being just develops in the womb. And that's a miracle within itself. But have you ever thought about the fact that God created the person who would occupy that body? That God created that person. And when we talk about the power of God and we sing the song, "What a Mighty God We Serve," that God was detailing every part of who he wanted you to be. God said that he would determine the color of your skin. God said that he would determine the color of your hair. God said that he would give you physical features and that he would put them together. God custom made you as who you are. And not only did God create you in your body, but God created your personality, and God created your talents, and God made you who you were supposed to be. Now, I've heard some people say when they get obnoxious or when they get rude to others or they offend someone else, they'll say, "Well, you just have to excuse me. That's just the way I am. That's just the way God made me." No, God didn't make you like that. You let the devil make you like that. Well, you know how I am. If I just got to give people a piece of my mind. You know how I am. If something is bothering me, I just got to let folk know in a rude way. I just got to tell them like it is. Well, see, God created you, but God didn't create you like that. See, and that goes back to the age-old question. Where did the devil come from? Did God create the devil? Well, no, God didn't create the devil. If you go back to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, you will see that God created an angel named Lucifer. And this angel was beautiful. Within this angel was music. He was a beautiful creature. He was one that was exalted in the garden of God. And then pride came into his heart. And he began to see who God was and realized, well, who is God to get all the worship? I need to get some of this worship. I need to get in a little bit of it. And so as he began to allow pride to swell up in him, we see this character called the devil being created. God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. And so it is. God created you. And God created you to be one of his beautiful creations. God created you to be a masterpiece. And if you are anything else but that, it's because of you. It's because of your own sinfulness. It's because you have allowed the flesh, the old nature, to take over. God has created you to be a character that reflects his glory. God has created you to be beautiful and allow his light to shine through you. That's who God created you to be. And so as we think about that, and as we think about the power of God, we see that God not only created the body, but God created the being. He created the soul. He created who you are. The second thing that we see, and it's like right in the middle of David talking about life in the womb, that he just stops and he takes time to just praise God. Look at verse 14. He's overwhelmed with the thought of God's creation, and he just stops and he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." He stops to praise God in the middle of his homily on life in the womb. Now, you know, from time to time, and I know we don't do this here at Bethany, but from time to time, I have the opportunity to visit some other churches. And sometimes they get the organ playing, and they get the drums going. And, you know, they do one of these. What are they doing? taking a praise break. Taking a praise break. And that's what David does. Now, I don't know if David did all that now. But David takes a praise in the middle of this discourse on life in the womb. He stops the discourse and he just begins to praise God. God, I praise you. I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And as I began to think about this, and I said, well, whenever we want to take a praise break and just praise God for making us, what are some things that we can do just to glorify him, just to praise him? And on the back of your notes, I put this together to help you, that put this in your devotion time. And when you just want to give God a praise, you can focus on any one of these. And I just want to say that I just tried to capture the essence of it, because these are very detailed studies that you can get into as you study the human body. The first thing, if you want to just praise God, I will praise him for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You can praise him for your soul or your spirit. The soul and the spirit is the essence of a person. Your soul houses your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is responsible for the decisions that you make during your lifetime, and that your soul is created to live for eternity. Oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to ask that you repeat after me. Lord, I praise your greatness. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about the skeletal system, how that adults have 206 bones in their body, they say that children have over 300 bones in their body. And that when you look at our skeletal system, that there's two parts. There's the skull and the spinal cord and the rib cage. And then there's the lower part or the appendilical part, and which is the arms and the legs. And that God put this skeleton together to protect all the vital organs of your body. Lord, I praise your greatness. Let me hear you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I think about the muscular system and how that there are over 600 muscles in the human body, and that these muscles are held together by tendons and ligaments, and that the muscles are responsible for the movement in your body, and that God showed great foresight in putting muscles on this skeleton so that we could move and so that we could be able to do the things that we need to do to exist in this life. Lord, I praise your greatness. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. When I think about the cardiovascular system, if you just want to praise God for just how he allows the blood to flow through your body, and you think about that the heart has four chambers, and each one of those chambers are divided, and they have a function that these four areas can be broken up to the right side of the heart and the left side of the heart. And we realize that the right side of the heart takes blood from the body and pumps it through the lungs to re-oxygenate it and the red blood cells. And then the left side of the heart sends the blood and pumps it back into the body again. That you got one taking it in and cleansing it and oxygenating it. And then you got another pumping it back out into the body. Lord, I praise your greatness. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about the skin is the largest organ in the body. The skin protects the body from injury, infection, and other harmful elements. When you think about the skin, there are three levels or three layers of the skin. The epidermis, which is the outer level, which is what we see. the dermis, which is the middle layer, and that contains blood vessels, sweat glands, and hair follicles. And then there is the subcutis, which develops the lowest level, which contains the fat cells and the collagen. And you think about how that God has taken this organ called the skin, and he has just stretched it out over our whole body, because if our muscles were exposed, if our inner parts were exposed, that we would be open to infection and disease. And God in his wisdom has just stretched this great organ over our whole body. I was watching one scientist one evening, and he was saying how that the thickest parts of the skin are on our hands and the bottom of our feet. God knew what he was doing. God knew that we were going to spend a lot of time on our feet. He knew that we would use our hands. Most of us that have jobs that do things where we on the computer or working, whatever it might be, we use our hands. And the thickest parts of the skin are not on our arms or leg or back, but the thickest part of the skin is on our hands and the bottom of our feet. I said, some folk, God knew they was going to be lazy. So he should have made the thick part somewhere else. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. In his wisdom, God designed and created the body like that. Lord, I will praise your greatness. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about the digestive system, how that we take food and fluids in through the mouth and it passes through the esophagus and goes down into the stomach, and how that the stomach with the enzymes breaks down the food and sends the food into the small intestines where the nutrients are absorbed, and you take the nutrients out of it, and then once the nutrients are taken out of it, it's put in the blood and it's processed back through the body, and how that through the waste, that God just allows the waste to be carried away out of the body. That the waste, he didn't design us to carry around waste, but he even put in place a method for us to get rid of the waste materials in our body. And even the water, how that it goes through the large enzyme and how it filters out impurities, and how that our bodies are 95 or 90% water, and how that water just goes back in to our body and give us the health and strength that we need. And the part that we don't need, God allows us to get rid of it. Lord, I praise your greatness, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Amen. The nervous system is made up of the brain and the spinal cord. Thoughts are processed in the brain, and it sends the message through the spinal cord as to how the body is to react. And not only that, but through the five senses, the smelling and the sight and the hearing and the touch and the taste, we see that these send messages back through the nerves and back to the brain, so that this nervous system that we have, and it's unbelievable how that when you watch a football player or a basketball player, you watch a football player and you see a guy running with the football, and all of a sudden somebody comes and tries to tackle him, and his brain says, foot go that way, foot come back, and foot go back this way. Man, that quick. Oh, it's unbelievable how that those messages are communicated like that. I was watching one game the other day where the player just was running and somebody was going to tackle him, and the end zone was right there, and he just leaped over the guy and landed on his feet. The brain got the message to the rest of his body what it was that he was supposed to do. Man, you mean to tell me you think? You mean to tell me you think that happens by accident? You mean to tell me that you think that we have these magnificent bodies that are fearfully and wonderfully made, that they just came together by accident, and you know, as a result of just some amoeba floating around in space, and they accidentally bumped together and caused life? Man, you can look at this. You can look at DNA, and you can see that there's the mind of God behind this. I don't see how in the world how anybody can swallow the lie that God didn't create this. God created it. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I had a quote here. Let me see if I can find it. It was by Rick Warren. He says this. He says, if there was no God, we would all be accidents. the results of astronomical random chance in the universe. That if there's no God, if there is no God, then you are just an accident. There was no, you know, your parents came together and they might have said, well, we want to have a child. And, you know, they might have wanted certain characteristics, but they couldn't design. They couldn't create those characteristics. The only thing they could do was pass them on. What they had, pass them on to you. But God created and designed you for a purpose and for a reason. That you are here for a reason. And I believe that's one of the biggest lies of the devil, is to tell us that we're here through the evolutionary process. Because at that point, what happens, there's no rhyme or reason for you being here. Who is the great architect of the universe? Who is the great mind of the universe? Who has thought about your life? Who has thought about what you should be? Who has thought about why they designed you? You just got here because just by sheer random chance of the universe. Oh, I thank God that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I just want to encourage you that the next time, and I would encourage you too to go maybe do read. I just kind of put the highlights here. I was looking at this stuff and it was just blowing my mind, all the information that's out just on these systems. They said that the liver performs over 500 functions. The liver, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That there is a God. And the next time you have your devotions and God puts it in your spirit to just give him a praise, and we can praise him for the good things he does. We can praise him for providing for us. We can praise him for saving a soul. We can praise him for meeting a need. But I believe, don't forget this praise here. Praise him for who you are. Praise him for making you. And get that holy praise right in the middle of your worship. And just give him the praise and give him the glory. Next we see the omnipresence of God. That God was there when David was being created. Look at Psalm 139, verse 15. My substance was not hidden from thee. The word substance here means his frame. That when, as the man talked about on the video, when the cells were in place and they began to develop, that God had everything about who you were to be right there. You know, it wasn't, once again, we know that there was development and the process of development, but who you were going to be was present at conception. And then what happened was just the cells began to multiply and you began to grow and you began to develop. But God put in place who you were to be the moment you were conceived. As a matter of fact, we looked at last week that God, and put that up, you got that slide from last week. When does life begin? When does life begin? Let's look at that because, you know, we talked about, you know, what does it mean? There are different views as to when life begins. You know, some people say that life begins at conception. And, you know, that's good. You know, we can say that, you know, life begins at conception. Is it after this one? Okay. Life begins at conception. Somebody said, let me find it. I got it up here. Somebody said that life begins at the point in which the embryo forms and layers are developed.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2. If you would like to request the audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.